Okay, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 34. We'll start from the verse 1.
And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land.
Now here we see in the verse 1, Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, going to see the daughters of the country. Last week, if you remember, we learned that Jacob came to dwell in this land. He already purchased this land for 100 pieces of silver or gold. His brother came, Esau, and said, "Brother, let's go and I help you." He said, "No, I'm not coming because I have these little children and these goats and sheep. I don't want them to die within a 1 day, so we are going to stay." And we learned that he made the house there and he made all these tent for the sheep and goats and cattle. So he had the desire to stay in this land for a long, long time. But if you remember, when Jacob was in Laban's house and he wanted to get out of there, when Laban was treating him bad, God told him, "Go back where you came from." If you remember, you saw the vision, you made the vow, you put the pillar there, and you go back there. God was telling him to go back to Bethel. But he is not going to go to Bethel. He is in the middle of in the heathen land, built his house, and wants to stay there. And he already made the altar there and put a name for the altar, and he was happy to stay there. But when I was studying the Word of God, I was thinking, even though he built the altar, God did not speak to him. God didn't say, "Oh, Jacob, thank you for building the altar here and worshiping and putting the name of God of Israel. I'm with you. I'm going to bless you in this land." God didn't say anything. God was quiet. And I was thinking, why God didn't say anything? Then I came to know, because God did not tell him to dwell there. God told him to go direct to Bethel. But he stood there. Now, I don't know how many years. If you remember, when Isaac was 100 years old, he told Esau to bring food, deer meat, and I'll bless you. I'm going to die. So Jacob gave him the food, and I want to tell the whole story. And when the Jacob did this, Esau said, "I'm going to kill you." So Jacob ran from the wrath of his brother and stayed there. How many years? 20 years he stayed with the Laban. Now he's coming back from there. Now his father is 120. When Esau came to meet him in the middle of this field, he told him, "You go home, I'll come slowly." But I think he came to know, my father is okay, my mother is okay, everybody's fine, I don't have to rush. And he stayed there for a long time. Next chapter we will be reading, 35, when his father died, he was 180 years. So can you imagine, from 20 years to 80 years, that means almost 60 years this Jacob is wandering and not coming to see his father. And so I don't think this was the plan of God. So the Dinah, his daughter, she might be teenager, because he said damsel. When you say damsel, it's a little girl. She might be 13, 14, 15. I don't think she was 18 or 20 years old. And she is not married. She is a virgin. And she wants to go and see the other girls. She wants to play with them and see how the culture is. And I was thinking, whose idea was this, to letting this girl go to the heathen children's place or heathen land? I thought Jacob bought the land 400 pieces of silver or gold. And these people were gracious to him and gave him a big land, and now he is settled there for a long time. And he thought, these people are good with us. They are not going to harm our daughter. One brother and his wife, and they had a little girl. And they said, oh, my girl is going to go to New Jersey and stay in some of our friend's house. I said, that's not a good idea, staying over there overnight. Oh, no, they are good people. What happened? Something happened, and the man got enrolled in that girl, got married, had one child, divorced her, and things became bad. What I'm trying to say, father and mother have the responsibility. You cannot let your children go anywhere and anybody's house and stay overnight and nothing happens. And that's what the part is going around. You allow your children to go to somebody's house and sleep overnight and believe that nothing will happen? How did Jacob and Leanne let this girl go? I think Jacob had the mind, when he went to Laban's house, his eyes was on Rachel. Rachel was a little girl. Leah was already ready to get married. So he says, I want this girl. He said, Laban says, wait for 7 years. He waited 7 years for that girl. He did not touch her. He did not make her pregnant. He waited for 7 years. And then his father-in-law cheated him and gave him the older girl. And then he said, hey, what did you do? You want a younger girl? Yes. Stay 7 more years, then I'll give it to you. The point I'm making, Jacob might be thinking, I had a control in my life. I did not defile Laban's daughter. I waited 14 years or 7 years. So these people might be good people. Because we learned that Hamor's son, Shechem, was an honorable man. Means he was a good man. Everybody is saying, oh, he's a good person. He cannot do such a thing like that. So he had the confidence. My daughter, they will not defile. They will not spoil my daughter. Okay, daughter, you want to go? Go. Now she goes there. And I don't know, there might be a wedding party or something. There is a movie on this subject. And there was a wedding or party or something. And the girl forced her to drink. And she was out of her mind, and then she was spoiled. But it's not in the Bible. These people made up this story, the people who made the movie. But the point I'm making, this girl is a little girl, had no experience handling men, and now she just goes to visit the people and see what happened, verse 2.
And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her.
Now, the prince of the country, that means his father is a king. And now he's going to be a king when his father dies. So this is not ordinary people, honorable people, king and prince. And everybody loves them, everybody honors them, they are good people. And so now this person saw this little girl, forced her to come to her his house and raped her and spoiled her name as well as the family name. And this man, he liked the girl. He fell in love with the girl. And he was saying very softly with her, oh, little girl, I will not hurt you. And now I know I did something with you. If you go back, your parents will kill you. America, Muslim people, if you defile their daughter, they will kill the daughter. And they will not feel bad. And so they thought, Jacob and his brother, they will kill you. So you're not going to go, but we are going to convince your parents that they are going to give it to us. And they never thought what they were doing is right or wrong. Because whatever they feel good, they do. In America also, they said, if you're not hurting somebody, and that means you're doing something good. Right, wrong, or wrong, right, and they don't feel bad, because when you go to college, they will teach you there is no God. And many Christian people go to college and they forget about God. And that's the way they teach. So heathen people, they have so many gods. They were not Muslim at that time, because Muslim people are circumcised. And they were not even Jewish, so they were not circumcised. So they were just like a Hindu people, worshipping millions of God, hundreds of God. So they don't have fear of God, they don't have fear of man, and they said, I'm a king and I'm a prince, so what? And in those days, if the king and their people will worship the king like a god. Today is happening. Go to this North Korea. Those people are worshiping their leader as a god. Some of the places in Japan in the olden days, they worship their leaders. And even the India, Mahatma Gandhi and all those people, they worship them. And so these people were like in a higher authority. And they thought, who is this Jacob? And who are these Israeli people? They're a handful of people. Our whole country is behind us. And if they do something, we will kill them. And that might be in their mind. But see what Hamor's son, he thinks, my father will help me. And so he tells his father. Let's read the verse 3.
And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife.
Now see, this story looks like Romeo and Juliet. Now this seems like this man loves this girl. And nowadays, if somebody says, I love this girl, people give them respect. Oh, he fall in love with this girl. They are one. You cannot separate them. So what? Let them do it. And that's what he comes to his father. He says, you know what? I love this girl. I cannot live without this girl. If they take this girl away, I might die. I'm fall in love with her. I need this girl. And so he tells the king. King says, okay, we are going to go and talk to the parents, and you will have the girl. Where is the girl? Girl is hidden in their house. They kidnapped her, raped her. She's in locked in. And now they're coming to Jacob's house. Let's read verse 5.
And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done.
Now here, Jacob heard this story. He was not happy, but he was scared. King and prince coming to my house and giving me this story, he had no courage to say anything. He kept quiet. He was going to complain to his sons, and he thought the sons will take revenge or something, but he kept quiet. And while they were talking, the children are coming from the work, means from the field. Can you imagine when you are in the field whole day working, you are tired, you need rest, you need shower, you need food, and here comes the bad news. And when you are hungry, you get more angry. So that's what happened. These people were hungry and tired, and here comes the bad news. And when they heard the bad news, let's see what they were saying. Verse 8.
And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you, give her him to wife. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein, and get ye possessions therein. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, Let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as ye shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife.
Now see what these people are saying. All the land is here. We'll give you the land, take our daughters, give your daughters, and live in the land, and we'll be one people. Stay with us. It's a good idea. And but same time, they didn't know that Jacob's sons are very angry. But the Jacob's children, they made up their mind, cool down. We are going to take a revenge, but we don't want to show it, anger and frustration. That's why there is a saying that the dog is not barking, you better watch out. The dog who barks may not bite. But the dog doesn't bark, that's the dog might bite you. So these people didn't bark, didn't say anything. They were very angry. They made up this mind. You know what we are going to do? We are going to trap these people. We are going to deceive these people. And they are going to fall in our trap. And we are going to kill them. Not only one, but whole city, whole country. We are going to kill. And they made up their mind. And see what they're saying. They're saying, you know what? You are living in our country. We're going to exchange our daughters, your daughters. Not only that. Whatever the money you want, we'll give it to you. Money, the cattle, the silver and gold, whatever you say, we will never say no. And I was thinking, where this system came, dowry. Giving money for your daughter. Now, in India, there are different states. One state get money for their daughter. Means the other party who wants to marry your daughter, they give you money for your daughter, just like Shechem and his father saying, we will give you money. Give me your daughter. But there is another state in India called Kerala. They say, take our daughter and we will pay you money. And they will give millions of dollars and daughter, pay for the daughter to go. So two different things. I would never give money and my daughter the same time. I'm giving my daughter, I'm already losing her. On the top of that, I give money? This is happening in the 21st century in Kerala. If you have four or five daughters, the father is doomed. He said, how am I going to provide all the money for my daughters to get married? But this person is saying, you don't have to give us anything. We will give you money. We will give you everything. If they would have said, give everything what you have, they would have given. But see what happens. Verse 13.
And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if ye will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised, then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people.
This was the message given to the Shechem and his father. They're saying, you know what? We don't want your money. We have enough. What we want, we are godly people. We are circumcised. Because God told Abraham to circumcise himself as well as his children. So he said, this is sacred. Our life is godly life. You want to identify with us? You should be circumcised. Because we cannot give our daughter to uncircumcised people. And those people start thinking, wow, it's so easy. No money, no dowry. These people are fools. Just saying, circumcised and We will give our daughter and you take our daughters, and this is so easy. But they didn't know that Jacob's children were thinking a little bit further. When they were circumcised and when they are sore and when they cannot move, we are going to kill them. But these people didn't understand. They were a little bit naive. Well, we're getting the daughter with nothing, just a little bit spore skins will be cut off, and we are not having any pain. And they were convinced. Verse 16.
Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if ye will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then will we take our daughter, and we will be gone.
We will take our daughter, and we'll be gone. The Shechemites, daughter? Oh, no. You're going to take my Dinah? No. I want my Dinah. That's what he said. If you don't circumcise, we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. Up to now, Jacob built the house. They were living there for years. And now they're saying, we are going to get out of here if you are not circumcised. Verse 18.
And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city, and communed with the men of their city, saying, These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land, and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people, if every male among us be circumcised, as they are circumcised.
Okay, now here, the message from Jacob's sons, they liked it. Hey, it's so easy. We will do it. And they did not disagree. They said, okay, we'll talk to our people. And now this is a king. Remember, this is a king and a prince. They're supposed to sit on the throne. And they're supposed to say, oh, people, everybody come to the king's palace or king's place, and king has the message. Instead of what the king is doing, he's going to the gate, the city gate. And each person coming in and out, he's talking to each person individually. You know what? This is what we want to do. We want to circumcise. And when we circumcise, all their daughters will be ours. Our daughters, we can give it to them. And all theirs will be ours. When he said it, people agreed. Let's read verse 23.
Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us.
Can you imagine? They are telling these people, you know what? Their daughters and their cattle and their all the property will be ours. As you know, Jacob's animal, they were the best. Best of best. And so they said, wow. His cattle are healthy. His sheep are healthy. His, goats are healthy. And everything looks so fine. Because they are blessed animal. They said, you can get those if you want to be circumcised. So they were tempted. It's a good idea to get all these things from Israeli people, and we will circumcise, and we will be agreeing, and we will dwell with them. 24.
And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city.
Every man, every male was circumcised. In the city, if somebody is living in the farm, each and every male child was circumcised. Only little babies, they were not circumcised. According to the Israeli law, the babies also be circumcised if they are 8 days old. But this Israel's children, like Simeon and Levi, they knew that if we circumcise little babies and everything, then those babies will be also having problem. But we will keep the babies, we'll keep the mommies and little girls. So now each and every person is circumcised. Okay, let's read a little bit further.
And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males.
Can you imagine? They have to have this sword very, very sharp. It's not going to cut one person's throat. They have to kill almost thousands and thousands of people. So their sword should be very sharp. And how many people? Only two brothers. He has all other brothers. They might as well, we are not coming. You go. They were afraid. Jacob was afraid. But they said, we are going to do it. And they take these swords, two people, and they kill all the people when the third day, when they are sore, they cannot get up, they cannot run. From inside the city, outside the city, and each and every male child was slaughtered. It takes a lot of strength. These people slaughter everyone with a sword. Two people. Go ahead. Verse 26.
And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out.
See now where the Dinah was? Shechem's house. He keeps the daughter there and comes here and says, okay, give me your daughter and I'm going to marry her. Where is she? She's hiding in his house. But they killed the king and the prince, took the daughter out, and destroyed everybody. Then his brothers got a little bit courage. And they had other servants also, hundreds and thousands of servants. So when the brothers said, okay, let's go. And now they are going house to house, taking everybody's money, taking all the cattle and all the donkeys and all the camels and everything. Can you imagine whole city they took? The king's treasury and everything what they have, they took it all. They didn't say what they burned the houses or what, but actually they took everything out of each and every house. Let's read verse 27.
The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field. And all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house.
See, whatever in the house, whatever in the city, whatever in the treasury, whatever is in the field, animal, money, silver, gold, their guards, everything, they took it. And why they did it? They say, because they defiled our daughter. That was the anger they had. Even though his father didn't like it, and even on his deathbed, he did not forget those people, what they did. But these children, they were young, and they didn't want anyone to do any mischiefs with their family. And Jacob might be thinking, we will be reading, Jacob saying, you know, I'm so afraid. We are little people. All these other countries, they will find out what you did with those people, and they will come and kill us. They will come and destroy us. And that's where the fear comes. What the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us what? Power, love, and sound mind. Just think this was God didn't like it, or God was angry. The enemy would come and destroy these people completely. But God put fear in those people's heart. All surrounding countries. Don't touch those people. We'll be reading in the next chapter. And other people were afraid. If you read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the word of God says, You don't have to be afraid of your enemy. They will come one way and they will run seven ways. God will put the fear in your enemy's heart. You don't have to be worried about enemies because you didn't do anything wrong. You just tried to rescue your daughter. When you come to the New Testament, Jesus Christ deals differently. He did not come to kill and destroy. He came to save the lost one. But this was in the Old Testament. And at that time, there was no law that you should not be destroying your enemies. Because here, these people took an innocent girl and defiled her. And top of that, they are going to say, you know what? You stay with us. We stay with you. And all yours is ours and ours is yours. But they were completely destroyed. Only little babies and the wives were saved. Verse 30.
And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house."
This was the fear of Jacob. They will come, they will destroy me, and they will destroy my house. You remember he was afraid of Esau, one man. And he was afraid and he gave hundreds of animals and bowed down to him seven times. And all his children and wives bowed down to him. He was afraid, but God protected him. You have to learn sometime. God is your source of supply. God is your protection. You don't have to worry about enemies. The soldiers, they go to war. Who is sending them? They are not going there to kill somebody, innocent people. The government sends them to protect you and your land. Some people are against wars, against killing people. But personally, you cannot have revenge with one person and kill somebody. One day, one person went to Second World War and he called me. He said, "Pastor Peter, I'm so guilty. I killed so many people." I said, "You killed so many people because you didn't like them?" So, no, government told me to do that. I said, "Sir, in the Bible, there is not a single word that you go to war or be a soldier and you kill somebody, you go to hell." John the Baptist, baptizing people. And then somebody came and said, "We are the police officers. What we should do?" What did he say? "Don't take bribe and be satisfied with your wages." And that's the only thing he said. He didn't say, "Throw the gun out, throw the sword out, and don't do anything." That's not the thing. Point I'm making, if we say to somebody, "We are not going to have a sword. We are not going to have the guns. We are not going to have any military." What will happen? Next day, Muslim country will take over you and they will circumcise you and they will make you their slaves, and then you have to have Sharia law and you will be slave. So what point I'm making, if somebody comes to your house to kill you and rape your daughter or rape your wife, do you say, "Oh, I'm sorry, oh, take over"? No. You defend. You give your life and protect your wife and your children. That's what the Word of God teaches us. We cannot go and kill somebody, but we are not allowing somebody to destroy our lives. So this is what happened to Jacob. He was even in the Old Testament. He was thinking, I'm living in peace. Why somebody has to come and destroy my family? But now he's afraid. See what's his children giving him answer. Verse 31.
And they said, "Should he deal with our sister as with an harlot?"
He said, "Daddy, you're so concerned about your life and people are going to kill us. Do you think our daughter should be a prostitute? and somebody used her as a prostitute? Jacob had no answer. He just kept quiet. The point I'm making, Jacob was afraid. But why this happened to Jacob, I told you earlier. God told him from Laban's house, Laban is giving you a hard time. Get out of here. God sent the angel. Talk to him. Go from here. Go to Bethel. Where you put the pillar. Go and worship me there. But he didn't want to go there, and he's standing in the middle ground. That's what the problem comes. If you listen to God, if you obey God, if you worship God, then God puts the hedge of protection. If you remember, the devil wants to come and destroy the Job. And he said, go and do whatever you want to do. He said, no, I cannot do anything. Because you put the hedge protection. I cannot do anything. If the Job had that kind of hedge and protection, how much hedge and protection we should have? If you plead the blood, when the sister was praying, said, plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Israeli people put the blood sign on their doorpost, and no death angel could kill them. If you have the blood sign on your life, plead the blood. This is the door. Plead the blood with your lips. No enemy has power to destroy you. Your house will be protected. You don't need an alarm system. You don't need the watchman standing at the door, because security guard kill their people. Some of the kings and the prince were killed with their own security. So there is no protection if the God is not protecting you. The word of God says, if the God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. If the God is not watching city, the watchman's watching is in vain. See, this whole city, God was not watching. Whole city was killed. King was killed. The prince was killed. Why? God was not protecting those people. Now Jacob is saying, what's going to happen to me and my family? God said, don't you worry. Didn't I promise you? And I'm going to supply your needs. And I'm going to prosper you. And your children will be like a sand of the sea or the stars of heaven. Don't you know that? Once you have a promise, why are you so afraid? Somebody get the news from the doctor. You got a cancer. Yesterday on the radio, one lady called me. She said, I had the cancer. My cancer was gone. And now when I went for checkup, they said, you're the cancer returned. And this time, you're going to die. I said, sister, read Psalm 118 and verse 17. Do you know what it says? It says, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. And I'm going to proclaim the works of the Lord. She said, I'm going to doing that. I said, keep on doing it. And when you have time, come to church. I'm going to pray for you. No sickness, no disease can stay in our body. Our body is the temple of the living God. And God is protecting us. You don't have to worry about the enemy. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. We don't have to worry about enemies. We don't have to worry about sickness and disease. Because we are protected. We have the hedge of protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Read the Bible every day. Pray every day. No harm, no danger could come to you. What we're doing in our church, every Sunday, we are taking communion. They take once a month or once a year. And some churches, they never take it at all. Somebody say, I never know there is a church, they don't take the communion. I'll tell you, the famous church in America, they don't take the communion. The point I'm making, every Sunday, when we take the communion, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ and we say, with his stripes, I am healed. And last Sunday, if you remember, one brother testified, when I was taking the communion, my shoulder pain is gone, and now I can raise my hand because I trusted in the word of God and I took the communion by faith. So point I'm making, Jacob has to learn that I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in my God. Otherwise, when you don't trust God, your own family member can be your enemy. You don't have to go too far to look for enemy. Your own family people will be your enemies. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the word of God. There are people dying without God and without Christ. But you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Left and right, thousands of people dying every day. But you have given us your grace and salvation. We are not going to be afraid of anyone or anything. We are going to proclaim the word of God through the radio, through the television, to the printed pages, to the internet, or going to places and proclaiming that our God is a miracle working God. Our God is a great God. And there is none like Jesus. So give us the holy boldness. We have to destroy the devil and save the people for the glory of God. We commit our lives into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.